This morning I'm turning to the Gospel of Luke chapter 8. The Gospel of Luke chapter 8. Now read verse 18. Take heed therefore how ye hear, for whosoever hath to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have. And this morning I want us to think about a caution for hearers of the gospel. And these words are the laws of our dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I repeat again, he said, take heed therefore how ye hear, for whosoever hath to him shall be given. Whosoever had not from him shall be taken, even that which he seemed to have. And okay, verse, yeah, drink, some kakra, matudin said, Kokoboa, Homa, yeah, to me, it's a young pony, and some, I find it's to. You will be one of the one you for. Kokoboa is used to, or the Maya, or whom some is my end, and yea, to me, ain't here, some, and that place, yeah, yeah, who never ain't here. And if you look from verse 1 to this verse 18 I just read, the Lord had been preaching, if you read verse 1, I said that, and it came to pass afterward that he went, the Lord Jesus Christ, throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. Now, as he has been preaching the villages, and you know, he said the glad tidings, that's the gospel of the kingdom by himself, how he came to die for sinners, and how that through him sinners can have access to heaven. As himself said in John chapter 6, verse 14, John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Said your car, he said, oh, John chapter 14, verse 6, and he said, on a name, a pine on a prayer, and a name, would be unto me, be janin, and I'm so fair. In his star, and same, I know, and I'm not there. All catcher, a whole process, if I be who know my day, about Yankopo in chain. So, in announcing this good news of God's love for needy sinners, many followed him, and both great and small, if you can. Go to verse 2. Look, some of the people that you were told here, 2 to 3. A certain woman which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went out seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Susa, Herod's steward. You know, Herod was the king of Israel. His steward's wife was part of the disciples of Christ. So, and we had others also who were with him. So there were many great and small following him. But yet, they all have to be cautioned. They all have to come to the Lord Jesus Christ the same way. In the kingdom of Christ, there is no great or small, but all who have come to repent of sin and have their trust in him, where their sins are forgiven them, and they have given a new life, so that they have access to this kingdom. The kind of said, the woman said, "Nani pe dinche bimwe akatifo eni kitwa de nelo so yes Christo ahindi eni mudi." A then if and so and it's an if as a crown will be born him, but the reaction is Christo, you will be woman the boy for no. Ninyasa, and I'll go for one and go home, and no enema a da or more addict Christo. I think the last of war is a Hindian Eddie. And so he took the opportunity to warn them. So when the crowd were gathered who were following him, he used the opportunity to caution them how they hear, because. You know, as many people are following, I'm sure many people will be having many motives in mind, many things in mind, but Christ was also performing miracles, and I'm sure many also will have the idea that maybe they also have something from Christ materially. And you know, even the disciples were having similar intentions, where Christ has to, from time to time, caution them that his kingdom is not of this world. They make an answer, Christo can some way they will cook with you, sir. If I don't know, I need to know. We are sure, sir. Now, a bimu, a tipovia, and yet, at the papa, because a bimu, but if you should know, or yet, or my dear baby. me assure say do mu fu say o amu so ti na ti na wonya bibi wi ase na mbi afini sem na me ka se na esu afọ no kran po e bi wo sa butai do mu ti se bia esu so ahindie no e fa as e wi ase emu ahunya na wi ase ho ahoto. So we use the opportunity to what? To caution them so that they need to consider all that he has been preaching about the kingdom. And what is what that kingdom is about, and how he has come into this world to set it up. So they waba we are seeing mu se or bema sa yesu ahindie ejina ewo asasiso. And as I said, so he was preaching about the glad tidings of the kingdom. And remember, in other portion of the gospel, so in the gospel of Mark, he said his first words when he began to preach, he said that the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. I say, Emrena do niyako power hindiye naba na musaka amaje na munge insempamindi. So you see, Christ himself. It is interesting that people nowadays will be preaching the gospel and they rather preach about material prosperity, as if the gospel of Christ is to make us riches, rich people or wealthy people in this world. No, Christ himself said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Again, Christ himself told us that how anyone can enter into this kingdom. In the means of entrance, he said in John chapter 3, verse 3, he said that verily, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And it is so saying sacra again engine in the no can swaka said, see nya our fufra, you mean co or shua hindi anymore. So, you know, Christ himself brought this kingdom, and he has to tell us what the nature of that kingdom is. So whatever any person says, which is not in line with what Christ says, is false gospel. Now, yes, Christo now not this are Hindi Basa Sisu or Ba Be Medina. Now Obi or Beb can sempa, yes Christo and send panwa. On can say, the pastor can imagine, no shake his non funny red name, Paja, and it has sound to the soap, one trans in Manon. Obi, one can send funny say, or can send by any of the friend. For Christo, say that Christo be kind. Christo say, yes, I can imagine, now so I need you know. Amen. So we see that Christ's kingdom is not to be entered by our natural birth, but by a spiritual one given by God Himself. So by God Himself. Say Christo Hindi no young kum am right the Yahweh baby as it or see nya or hope and say to me akosa Hindi. Okay, so now as we have seen this few things, the expectation for everyone who hear the gospel must be to repent of sin and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Say the Yahoo's answer me, you know. Obi Biara will tear them panel, ne boot time or say the boot time to say or pick up a so sacred life if you born of. Not the rest of Jesus Christ, new woman who is a mad boy for Calvary. No shame in what you are doing. I'm not saying, hey, what time? What time do you have to receive when you should be here? And your papa. And if anything, else, what will be your mouth? Uber, 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 people repent and trust in in the Savior, and they are sincere about it. God forgives their sins, and what He gives them a new life, and they become His people. So, nipa exercise and send for the Christ to be one more a one. Ninya akuma ni the associate ko Christ on chain. Niya koke one ya chain or the one ya chain. Niya the area to the way of Calvary no swa. Say ya no one pray mua. Niya unfan yonga insist ni niya first say because we one mua. Niya ko body a one chain. Now, on my own, I will go for it. 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 But all these things are not used to hear. But the Lord just gave us this caution because He knew the hardness and the deceitfulness of the human heart. Yes, Christo. Okay. On him says, someone, okay. Obi, 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 you see, I say, because normally, the Lord Jesus Christ knew that it is hard for us to genuinely repent and forsake our sins. When Him said, "Hey, the power money passer, obey John the Bonnie," now ordinary reaction is that, "Saying you go corner and that and that." Hey, the money papa. So He knew that. So many times the gospel has become useless to many who hear the gospel because they are not willing to repent. They are not willing to forsake their sin and put their trust in Him. Whenever these things are not true, people repent, but they repent in halfway. They try to stop some major sins in their life so that people can see them and they are good. But there should be a total repentance from the heart and life. My words that I say, the things in my heart, should be such that which I can say it if the Lord Jesus Christ were standing with me. Such things are the things that the new birth brings, so that we are really aware of His presence everywhere, and we are free to sin against Him. So by this warning, I said, take heed therefore how ye hear the gospel. And look at what he added. For whosoever hath to him, that is verse 18. For whosoever hath to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. The word seemeth, that means he pretend to have. And the meaning of this verse is that those who sincerely receive the gospel shall have the blessings that it brings. But those who only seem, pretend to have believed in Christ, God will deny them the converting power of the gospel. So that what they seem to be understand will have no power over their lives. That's what the verse is trying to tell us. So it's very important. People have the gospel even in their mind. They can even tell others. But it has no influence upon their own heart and life. So it says, take heed. Many will think themselves to be saved because they have clear understanding of what it is to be saved. People will bring that. Remember that the Homo said, Omo Nyan Kwebri said, you can't send passing Christ to a big one, but the one you have to go, 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 you have why do you assume you are? That's why I'm going to Christ to Sua. I'm quite genuine, but I don't want to go to the mouth and I pen saying, if I swear, where is Christ to lead you over to your covering? So I'm going to go to the mouth and say, no, you need to send panel to you. And I bet you, because whosoever has, now I was answering for you. Ah, what's here? I'm going to go to the mouth and say, I'm going to go to the mouth and say, so now I'm so more. And who has no one? Even what is similar to have. What even makes him happy as if he's able to understand the gospel and live around it. The actual blessing, it will deny him. And whatever comfort you have through the gospel, it does not lead you to Christ, where you have a new life, it's a loss. It's a total loss. It's a total loss. So, he's cautioning those who pretend to believe, who pretend to know him, but deny, as the Bible says elsewhere, they deny him in their works. Because it is that new life that moves us to live for Him. For hearing the gospel, everybody can hear and keep it and try to even do some things about it. So now to enforce this warning, all who hear the gospel, the Lord told the parable to illustrate the kind of hearers the gospel always meets whenever it is preached. He don't just give us the warning, but He illustrates for us the different kinds of hearers. And you know that the Lord knew why He cautioned that they should take it. Because many people are following Him. Yes, Christ. And this parable, as we know, the parable of the sower, which I mean very common to us. So is we have it in chapter 8, verse 4 to 8. I'll read it and we'll go on. Verse 4 to 8, and I think 11 to 15. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And from verse 11 down, now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and they have no roots, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. That which fall among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that which on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. So we see the category, how he has categorized it. We have four types of hearers. So in moving forward, we are going to look at these four kinds of hearers and apply it to ourselves and see. See, because you know, yes, we should parable can you share? Said the Etienne, or say, Ogufu Koguaba. Now, Koguaba, maybe go Quan Chen. The Gun Quan Chen, it's 8 years so, and a woman of Maba, the DD McCoy. No, they do go a boom, a boom, so no, yes, if you know, and Chenna, a share, because that in me. As I see, I remember to me either actually it is so. I see even so, in Cassian Cassiano. If he said if you know Pen and Cassiano, a war meant to me, I'm Swabba. And they've been so, then Ebu as a parcel, then here. Now, a Swabba be brave, be 100 nay a day. No, we are sitting here, or else we won't see Sanyo. In about verse 11 or share, Sah Parable, share with you. So I say, Abano a kan ho asem enya ngopon asem abano egu ya yakopon asem na de egu nkwanche no e ye omo eti anyame asempa ya na o tanfo no gunsam no aba na ba yi sa asem na fi o makumem kwa fi se on person be die di no manya nkwa na o se bi nso omo egu abo so no so omo eti anyame asem no na a sha so no moti omo ni jipa but omo ni Papi mama kumi, omu ntu mi nsa asemu mama kumi mu ye. Chakumu asemu ntu mi njia. Nti omu tidi enije umba, emeka krebi no na omu jadi no apa na se social balance or how ba asemu huwa na omu ni apa baby no maji asemu ni. Na ose binsu egun kasi enkasi mu na omu egun kasi mu omu a eti asemu omu koso na omu kaso omu koso na we ase how ni abra bomu ate te ene. We are seeing any brisk, any breast, any very penny pa, the pesicatum, and ne Obenya Brabomu, any jane, if anything, and your mano, Abesha, Mosuna, Assemble, and to me on Swabakra. No, so moi, Bakusu, as a papa so. Now, and no, I am more a dear Assemble, Akuma Pim, Omute, Akuma, Winidaho, a dear Assemble, now Omutia Assemble, Musum. Now, I'm also a war, Abushemu, at the Swaba Bibri. To say that assembly. So now we are going to go deeper and apply it to ourselves. So this is the general meaning of the word, the parable Christ has told us. So the kinds of hearers. The first one are those who listen to the gospel carelessly. So the first people, verse 5, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Anything that is by the wayside that people can boot and walk on it, it's a careless. Even if it's if you have something and you don't care about it, you let it fall, people trample upon it. That's the meaning. So, a careless hearer, the one who doesn't hear the word with care. That's the meaning. Now, see, I go for another one. Any one at the papa, as the day, as the vicar, as my job now, unfinished and papa here. That's the first people. And who are these? Many can sit under the sound gospel preaching. But then their minds will be wandering somewhere. The gospel is preached, but their mind is somewhere. The body is here, but the mind is not here. It's carelessness. If somebody is speaking to you, and you want to be, if you're a student, and you're in a class, and you are learning, and your mind is also, how can you understand it so that you can solve your questions? So you see, to be just a careless hearer, there are many also, immediately as someone begins, then they also begin to think of something that happened during the week. Maybe at the workplace, at the market, in the house, then that thought begins to roll into their mind. Or some planning for the week begins. In the worship place, then they are thinking of Monday, what am I mean? Okay, I have to go here. Then that thought eats up the mind. Many also, they can even sit down for many hours to watch television programs. Many hours, even deep in the night. But few minutes of hearing the gospel preached, they cannot bear, then they fall into sleep. These are careless hearers. there a decay is say a bit more to meet now and some boy say na on my green and baby. The president is help. I do know any number. As I said, we'll be cast and show now for some of the eternity. In a bit more so, Emra and some punish us, your pet. Now, if you are now working, you know, be a course who fear and a human man answer school and I be not about my genome, Adrian, the whole other. And now, sir, what now, okay, Bessie Mugran, and your mom, when you see our appointments, be also, or Quania, and if you be also for now, I shall say no. In some punishers, and then no, I shall not dream. A good grandpa has a long capitium score, or more, I mean, or maybe long capitium score with my dream. And a woman soon born almost to me at last, they should tell even, and I joke around my desire. And so, I'm over at Snatch and Pass, and yes, sharp, yep, and now, and look, Marco. This are careless hearing. And yet, a sua, who did see the coupon stamp by a chair said, he had the boy for, like you said, I do want my ear, and so about me. It's a fun band and I'm wondering, and so about the arm. I said, what day, I see the abana for a fine channel. They are not born the ball. I dear, who here, Sana, a seminal. You don't regard the word of God. I mean, a seminal, who here more. And there's a third portion of these people. Some also, before or after attending to the preaching of the word, they occupy their minds with jokes. Either from social media or from friends. Nowadays, our phones, you see, people will be sending things. Before service, we want to make a laugh or make mockery of it. And when you are sitting under the preaching, those jokes are playing in your mind. Or sometimes, even after service, you begin your phone, and then people have sent jokes, you watch it. The jokes are taking your mind. The devil have gotten you. All the words you have heard become useless to you. And then we still continue in that way. So those who are careless, the Lord said, the gospel they hear is like they see sown by the wayside. Before they hear the preaching, the devil has already occupied their hearts. This activity that comes into our minds in terms of hearing the word is supported by Satan's word. Sir, and your mind, especially if you are in my between your mind and your mind, and your mind and your mind and your mind. Obun sam eje ji pa ni 2 minute eje o ma hokwan a no nya o kai o say and then so the preach okay so when they couple occupy their mind in verse 12 he said that those that, by the way I did that here then come the devil. The devil doesn't come and force you allow him when you are careless of the way then come the devil and take it away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe it and be saved. These are life-saving words, and yet other matters are so important to you. Your jokes, your planning for the week, or some thoughts, whichever, because those thoughts are important to you, it will become fruitless. So many are not saved because they are careless. These are the words of Christ. He knows, we call him the physician of souls. He knows us, and each one of us, for the word to be profitable to us, these things, there are many things we can consider, but these things must be careful. See, if I said, in some panel, any time we are coming, we are too sure about, but see, to you may be answer, but in some panel, and I see it here, we are, and see a man, maybe yes, you are fine. Yet, maybe you are, and I bet you may ask you about a woman. Let us remember that we have the enemy of our souls ever alert to distract us. See, one of the things that the charismatic diseases have deceived people is that they think that the devil, they have to fight with him with their so-called shouting. No, the devil don't care about those things. He's a spirit. While they are doing those things, he's stealing people's heart away. This is what he does. These are the things the devil would rather use to harm. It's not that he's coming to destroy your business or your family or stuff. Oh, no. The word of God will not have any influence in your life. Because when people have their trust in God, nothing in this world can affect them. So would they do nyaku pomus? But when he makes that foundation weak, then you look around, you are going to prophets and whatever to help you because you don't have trust in God. So this is what he does. So then the foundation of the whole word of God is the gospel. When the gospel has a root in your heart, every other blessing of the word will come and it will fill up. So, but when the gospel is taken away, then what again? You can hear million sermons of good works, of morality, of whatever. But if the gospel has not taken hold of your heart, where you repent and rest your hope in Christ, listen to every sermon. It's worthless. It's useless to anyone. So while you are not considering the word you hear, you are no better than an atheist who claims that there is no God. Yes, so nyamia samuno sempana u se unfo aso na unfenti a. Uni obi a ono no waka so media so Richard Dawkins aso nyakopon yo. San o tie. Wo a won so uti asemno a won je hun. You are no different from him. A distrust in God's word is a disbelief in God's existence. Say nyamia samuno ye ntie na so ye ntin din fa rent so a. E se so omo a omo nyakopon kura uni yo. Nyakopon amori as nyakopon bo ni ba. So we are not different from such people. Those who hear the word carelessly. Because if you value someone, his words are precious. And you hold it. And I'm sure all of us, we have some desire to know the word of God and to give ourselves to him. So let us strive so that the gospel will take hold of our hearts. Else the devil will take them away. And we hear them, every time they will come and hear, we'll take it away. And then at the end of the day, they become fruitless. The second hearers is that... He told us that the second people are those in verse 6. So the group of these hearers, they are those who do not deeply consider the gospel and its demands. Omoa etin sempano omuntie ne ye. The sempano asese asiye no omo fo madwe dan enko so papa. Many are fascinated by only by the promise of forgiveness of sin, the gift of eternal life and a happy life in heaven. If I don't run a chance and find that oh, yeah, dear, if you want to fight on your phone, okay. Downtown, if you don't have a heaven. And there, that it used to buy a bit of a heaven. And open on my dream, I also. But there are more things to know in the gospel than these things. These things are very happy because we are in a miserable world. Sicknesses, poverty has affected us. And all our way are surrounded with many hindrances. So these things are things that promise us to come. But those who are, so verse 6, these are those who, the word that fell on the rocks. Is it verse 6? Say that, and some fell upon the rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And those who are in this category, they are not desirous to repent of sin. Because in the gospel, the first thing is repentance of sin. It's not just forgiveness of sin, it's repentance. So are you listening to, whoever is listening with care, have to know that there should be what? Repentance of what? Sin. That's the first thing. And also to deny oneself and bear the sufferings of Christ. And this thing should come into your mind. It's not just, I believe, no. Willing to dedicate yourself as a Christian. It's part of the gospel. It's not that you believe and after you want to dedicate your life. No. You rest all yourself on Christ. So these are the demands of the gospel. Look at Christ's words in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. These are the demands. Deny yourself. Repentance. Take up your cross. Willing to bear the burden. These are what Christ told his disciples. And this thing might be told us. Yes, the promises are there, but we have to come in that mood, in that set of mind. Who travels to a place that he doesn't plan? You just wake up in the morning and you say, I'm going to Kumasi. No. You try to look around the things you need, how many days you are going to spend, and you put everything together. So the gospel, your faith in it will turn the power of sin and the world and Satan over you into the kingdom of Christ. So you have to consider. And what am I doing about it? How my sins cannot allow me there. I take it to the Lord. And then, willing that when I give my life to him, he dictates for my life. Meaning, if you want me to go through places of suffering, I'm willing to give up. So we have to consider these things. Or see against Daniel, sir, even ya against Sacrano, and the Dikan, they're very interested in that. You suffer for him. It's not you who are out together. You don't have none of us have the strength to suffer for Christ. When he gives us salvation, he gives us the grace to be able to suffer for him. But then, if you are not willing to come in these terms, there's no, conversion for you. So many are not willing to surrender their worldly comfort, how they want to live peaceably in this life, no trouble-free life, no distresses. Some, they have gotten to a certain popularity in life. They don't want to step down from that. And that, in that way, there's, because when you come to Christ, he will dictate for you. It's not you setting me, I want to live like this and Christ will. No, he will dictate for you. And my leader, he doesn't want to be popular. And you have to submit. And also, worldly ambitions. You have set your life goals. And then, you want to come to Christ. Because, even God's children, our prayers sometimes are full of fault. So you setting your life goals before coming to Christ, you must be willing that if Christ wants me to end my course of life this way, I'm willing to give up. Then that thing should come in your heart. And then you give yourself to him. Christ said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Not those who are already. If any man wants to follow me. To be a Christian, it's not just believing. There's a life, a course of life, a discipleship. You follow Christ. You don't just believe and have salvation. So the people are not willing to let this thing go for the sake of what? Their soul salvation. They admire to be Christians, but are not willing to live as Christ lived. Remember, I think Nathaniel, Andrew, and the first disciple, when they found the Lord Jesus Christ, when John the Baptist have told them, this is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, and they left their nets and everything, they followed him. When they met Jesus, they asked him, where do you live? They followed him. So we don't do that physically, but our heart and desire want to live where Christ is. Where Christ can be known, where he is glorified. And that should be in our heart. Where do you live? They followed him. I think Peter and John, James, they were with their father, with their men in their nets. When they saw Christ, they left and followed him. Matthew was being at the customs seat, collecting taxes. When Christ will follow me, he left. We are not supposed to maybe leave our work or something like that. If only it's a rightful work, it's not a bad work. But our hearts and minds might be primed that we want whatever Christ desires for us. That is what the lessons are. So you are basically being said the Christo person of my abrabomu. I know the person idea of sharing that. I think like yesterday your brother was telling me that he met a young man at the station. The young man said, for him, he has been praying. Anything he prays and asks God, God doesn't answer him. He doesn't know why. I think my brother was telling me that, no. You don't just ask God things. You have a way to pray. I try to help him. But many people, they think that God is like God, so for him, I have to ask him things and he helps me. No. You have to know his forgiveness first. You have to know that you have sinned, and that your sin is against him, and that you ask for him to forgive you, and then you submit yourself to him, and he dictates for you. You don't dictate for God. That's only part. Many prayers in many churches, this all night, they are dictating for God. God, my business. God, my family. And yet, their sins are kept untouched, and they are moving on. No. We should take our whole life to him, and then we shall have his forgiveness. So this are those that fell on the rockside. They don't consider the terms of the gospel. The gospel has demands. The gospel is not just listen and believe. No, it has demands that we have to consider. So there's a desire to live as Christ. As Apostle Paul said, in Philippians 3 verse 10, let me read this thing for you. Look at the desire of Apostle Paul. Philippians chapter 3 verse 10. It says that I may know him, that the Lord Jesus Christ, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Each Christian has a degree of suffering. But to know Christ and the power of resurrection, the newness of life, to live a holy and righteous life, and to what? The fellowship of what? His suffering. We cannot suffer for our sins, but we have to suffer as Christians. But these things are not told people now. People think that Christianity is just a free and fair thing. No. There should be that desire. And I said, he, when we are willing, he gives us the strength. We don't have the strength to suffer for him. No. With our natural strength, none can be able to suffer for Christ. Nobody. Nobody. So those who died in the ages ago, when God were Christian, were bent, they were imprisoned, they were cut asunder. They didn't stand for Christ because of their natural strength. No, they couldn't. But because he trusted in Christ and he gave them the grace, they were willing to give up their life. They were willing to give up their properties. They were willing to sacrifice everything for the sake of Christ. But how many people are willing that today? How many people are willing that today? These are the terms of the gospel. So the second category, the gospel fell into rocks. Because there are troubles, which were persecutions, which will come after us when we turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And how before we are sitting up on some and the power by yourself, you're back used to in China. So we have to know these things, that they should be suffering. And you know, this category of people, in verse 30, the Lord said, they on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy. You see, the God has forgiven us of sin. They are so as heaven, there's eternal life, they receive with joy. But they have no roots. The word doesn't sink. Which for a while belief. So they have a kind of belief. But for a while. I think last Wednesday, by which the pastor tweeted John chapter 6 and John chapter 8, and those who even said many good things about Christ, oh, they said, oh, Christ is the prophet who should come into this world. But at the end of the day, they wanted to stone him because Christ was telling them that they should believe in him and so they should despise their desire for worldly gains and that they should rather suffer for me. That's what leads for eternity. And they want to stone Christ. Yet before they were saying, he is the God, they are eating the bread, they were satisfied. They were, this is the Christ, this is the prophet who should come into the world. And many have this mentality. So you see, many believe, but for a while, that belief can never save anyone. When we believe we are happy or we are peace, no. We should be willing to go on. And then that faith will hang on Christ. And then we will be able to have that which Christ has done, I mean, the blessings of what Christ has done. And sometimes these people, a category of people, are deceived by easy believism, as we call it. Sometimes the altar call, maybe you went to a meeting, and the preacher preached, and they say, oh, who wants to come? So give themselves to Christ, then they lift up their hand. And they come to the pulpit, I mean, before the pulpit, and they say after me, and they say, I have believed. What consideration have they made? Except few who had really considered before doing that. But how many of them have really considered? I have worked with missionaries some years ago. We did some, this water call. Ask me how many of those people are being Christians today. They are none to be found. I have the records of some of them in my back of my Bible. Because they said they wanted to accept Christ. We led them to, through this, so don't go water call. They did not consider it. They did not really understand what they were even doing. But we thought they have come up and that they have believed. So many people who are in this category are deceived by this easy believism, by this so-called pastors nowadays. See after me, after they go, there's a radio preaching. If you want to give your life to Christ, then see after. I mean, the preacher himself will never even explain what it is to believe. And yet, after the preaching, he said, oh, if you want to give your life to Christ, see after me. No, this thing will not save anyone. So there should be that desire to know Christ and to know his sufferings and to know what he has done for us. So most of the time, some of these people mistake feelings for spiritual experience. When they feel pity for what they have done, you see, there are two things. You can feel pity for how you have messed up your life and even cry for it. And another one is feeling pity for what you have done for your life against God. You see, there are two things. Some people feel that, sorrow is that, oh, I've left my life, I've been a drunkard, and alcohol has really messed up my life. My family is messed up and everything. It's funny to think that way. But the greatest part is that I have lived my life as a rebel against God. I've lived my life as a sinner against God's law, whom, if I don't repent, I'll be punished. But then there's mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ. I go, it's like God will forgive me. That is where repentance is genuine. But it's not where you think, you look at yourself, how sin has messed up your life and you cry. No, that will never lead you to repentance. So many mistake feelings for spiritual experience. So, some of these people, they seem to be converted initially when they hear the gospel. And sometimes they are even absent in outward show of religion. They will go to church, they will try to be involved in everything. So, they seem to be believers. Sometimes, they are even willing to employ their talent, their possession for their church work and everything. Sometimes, it is very difficult to differentiate them between the good, real Christians and such kind of category of people. But when troubles of life come, where personal comfort, life advantages must be given up for the sake of Christ, then you see the colors of this book. If you have read this book, The Pilgrim's Progress, you call somebody, call Pliable. When Christian began his journey, they were trying to draw him back, but Tribe, okay, I'll go with him. Immediately, they fell into the slope of despond. I mean, it's not like a map. Then Tribe tried to swim back. When you swim back, he said, you Christian, you. I'll never follow you again. Go for it. I will never. Then he left back to the city of destruction. But if they have not fallen into that pit, you wouldn't have seen that Pliable was a false believer. But when they fell, while Christian was struggling to get on out of it so that he can continue his journey, Pliable swim back. That is it. When troubles of life come, when trouble comes because of the name of Christ and his word, and where they have to give up comfort of life, and when they have to give up something so that they will be obedient to Christ, then you see this category of people that they are not sincere. But until then, they are like any other Christian. So, until if you call them fair weather Christians, they only study their soul when the weather is fair. And when there's storm and thunderings, they back and even sometimes they mock religion, they make a mockery of religion. So, third are those who, the third category are those whose concerns are for the present life. Whose concerns are for the present? In verse 7, he said that Luke 18, verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And verse 14 gives us the meaning of this people. Verse 14 says that. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard the word, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. So this category of people, they hear the word, and they go, and the troubles of life, and the desire for money, and desire for pleasures, choke it, and the word becomes ineffective. So anxieties or worries for daily provision for the family, or for my life, desire for riches and pleasures of this world, when I set these things as my aim of life, and when I'm controlled by these things, I have no time to examine my soul. When I hear the gospel, I don't even examine my soul that am I in right condition before God. No. Because I think that I have to take care of my family, which is a good thing. I have to do something to survive, which is a good thing. But those desires shouldn't precede your examination of your soul and look that am I in right position before God. Do I have that righteousness which can enable me to become God's child? Or when Christ comes, on a day of judgment, when I stand before God, do I have what it takes to be called that you are a good servant? This thought doesn't come to people's mind. When life worries have filled their life, desire for riches, and nowadays, young men, every young man, I mean, as if the world is running ahead of them, chasing it. And everything is connections. It's not that. It's not that. Life is more than getting the money and the things, the possessions of this world. You visit somebody who is on his deathbed and he tell you what is important in this life. Even whether he's rich or poor, he doesn't care about anything. Sometimes the family will go and visit him or her, he doesn't have any delight in them. His own children, he doesn't have any delight in them. And yes, maybe that's all that he has spent his whole life to build up for. So we should look that, we should consider that life is not what things we have in this life and we enjoy. Life is more than that. And when we are growing up, we are deceived by the world, as if that is the most important thing, to have life possessions. But yet, those who tell us who have grown up, and they have, sometimes when they are sick, they will tell you otherwise. See how life is deceptive? So when this thing fills your heart, it chokes. The word chokes it. So they are not able to think of eternity. They are not able to think of their life should be before God. It's like when you fill a bucket full of water and you pour oil on it, where would the oil be? It will even swim off. That's how many people are living their life. They will fill their life with these ambitions and desires, and they want the word of God to have. The word of God will not sink in. The word of God is like a seed, as we have seen. It should sink and have root in our heart, so that it will bear fruit in our heart, so that we will have enjoy. There's a hymn, it says that, trust and obey. There's no way you'll be happy in Jesus except you trust and obey. We sing that hymn, but we don't consider the delight of God, the light of His word, and the joy of life, unless we trust and obey, unless we have come to Him and rest our hope in Christ, and unless we have come to Him to repent and give ourselves to Him so that He manages our life for us, Until then, we can never become Christians that will enjoy what Christianity is made up for. We will attend church and do it, and we will still be complaining Christians, so-called complaining. We will still be a people that when our profit increases, then we are happy. As Job said that, Job was said once, he said that he never, he used an expression, as if, which means that he was never happy that his profits were increasing. He never was happy for that. And yet trouble came on to him, trying to say that he had never sinned, which was just fine. But the fact of the matter is that our joy of life shouldn't be anything that we have had in this world. If it depends on anything, we shall be disappointed along the line, whether in persons or in things. We shall be disappointed. But this is what people are doing today. And people put their minds like this, and they want the word of God to bless them. And that's as it's like a bucket of water to them, almost to the brim. You pour oil on it, it will float over. The word will have no root in you. So I'll move on to the fourth category, then we come to the close. So the fourth are those who thoughtfully and carefully meditate on the gospel. This is the only profitable manner of hearing the gospel. All the other three will never lead anybody to salvation. The third one will seem to give you some kind of religion, but not that which will take you to heaven. You know the newness of life. So the fourth one, that is verse 8, we are told that another fell on good ground and sprang up and bear fruit a hundredfold. And if we come to verse 15, but that on the good ground are they which in that honest, look at the description, honest and what? Good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit and patience. The church of Moa, a tea assembly here in Shamo, Mona said, Oma Kumemu, Nemuati, Omu Dinukra, Omu Bonamu, at the Bakistan chain. Oma Sanso Makuma, Omu Jim once was a Christian, and so, no Fandad on my bravo. This honest and what? They were clear before God. They don't want to hide anything. And even after they are saved, they don't want to live their life by keeping something as if they are boss of their life. No, they are honest and they were sincere. They give up their heart. So in their case, they don't go and hear, they don't come and hear the words. And when they go out, it passes through their. They come, they hear it from here, they passes through here, and it goes. No, they keep it. Because when other matches come in, it pushes the words. It goes off football, movies, and when we entertain ourselves much with these things, the word that cannot stay. Because our minds are full of vanities. And the word cannot stay with where there's vanity. It's the Holy Word. And it's the Holy Spirit who has to work on the word upon our hearts. And how can holiness and sin work together in our hearts? It can never be possible. So many push the power of the word. So the word doesn't fall on their minds and run off like water fall on a stone. They prepare their heart for it. Though they might not even understand everything of the gospel, but they are willing to claim it on their own. Some people also hear the gospel. Maybe at school or somewhere, somebody has spoken against the gospel and tried to prove that it's not true. Well, that person is a human being. This is the word of God. And yet, they are confused. So when they hear the gospel, well, I remember there was a young man I know. I tried to speak to him several times. He never spoke. One time, then he asked a question. Then I realized that all that I was speaking to him, he never took it. Because he told me, what I'm talking about, creation and other things. At school, he learned that God did not create the world. There are other theories about creation, which makes my version of creation, what the Bible says, not absolute. That's what he's trying to tell me. Though he doesn't totally disagree with me, but he thinks that what others are saying is also true. So you see, he never took anything. Else. And many people have this mind. So those who go to school, to universities and others, when the other lecturers that are ungodly and other so-called scholars, they will try to prove religion is not anything better. So push it aside. And people begin to think that, well, I can keep a religion, but I'll not give myself to it. And then my life, no, it's a deception. Those who hear the word profitably, they don't have any doubts. Even if they don't understand it, they pray that God should open their eyes, their understanding to know it. And they're able to get whatever the gospel is meant for. Though these people also count the cost, they see their life that, okay, believing in Christ, I will have sufferings. But the idea of the suffering doesn't disturb them. They don't reject the gospel. They move on. Yet they have come to the cause that religion will bring them troubles. But they are willing to give up their life and own up what Christ has done. So you see the difference. They are not willing to. But oh, if there's trouble, then why do I have to believe in Christ? Because I thought believing in Christ is making up to me, will help me to live in this world without trouble, and I'll be like the boss. No. But if there are trouble, they don't reject it. They claim it and receive it. As people are saying, oh, I claim it and receive it. I tell them to repent of sin and deny yourself. Nobody will claim and receive it in those churches. But when the pastor tells them, oh, you are the head, not the tail, I claim it and receive it, your business will advance, your family, your riches, you go to, you travel, oh, I claim it and receive it. Tell them, repent and trust in Jesus. I don't know how many of them will receive it, because if you should tell them the thing that demands our heart and minds, nobody will claim it and receive it. You see the falsehood of what people are preaching nowadays. So these people moved to the Lord, and verse 15 says, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. See, their fruit, they didn't take care. They don't just become they are being careful to show outward religion, because if they put up anything which is not sincere and later they withdraw from it, they will be shameful. So they are careful how they even put their religion, before people. They are not afraid, but they are careful to show real fruit with patience. They don't just show off that they are Christians with patience. So what do? They are sincere about their sins and bring them to the Savior. They confess their helplessness and unbelief and ask the Lord to help them. In Acts chapter 2, verse 37, when Peter preached at the day of Pentecost, look at the attitude of those who were convicted of sin. Look at this. Acts 2, 37, they said, now when they heard this, they heard the gospel, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? That is what we do. What shall I do, O Lord? I've heard, I'm a sinner, what should I do? Help me to discern my senses and what I have to render before my Lord. They repent of sin and make Jesus their only hope of salvation. The Lord also hears them. There's a promise. When you are sincere and you pray, he hears you. In Psalm 34 verse 8, we are told that the Lord is nigh unto them that are of broken heart and saveth such as be of contrite spirit. Yeah, Psalm 34 verse 18, John said, unless my heart are broken, unless I want to, and for a broken heart means a submissive heart. I want to submit my heart to him. Not that I'm living my life as I please and I want God to bless me. It's not possible. So God will hear you, and he will draw nigh. Immediately you are praying, he will draw nigh to help you if you are sincere. But my question when I come to a close is that, which one of these hearers are you? Which one of them are you? Your salvation depends on the gospel you hear and the manner in which you hear. Whether carelessly, whether choked with worldly cares or whatever. For you to be profited, you must go to the Lord. And your prayer should be, Lord, help me to repent and trust in you. And this should be our great example. Remember Lydia. Lydia, in Acts chapter 16, was a trader of purple. But she went to the place of worship. And the Lord, as she heard the gospel from Apostle Paul, the Lord opens her heart and she believed. And she became a Christian. So how many times have you heard your heart is closed? Because you are not willing to pay attention and give your heart to the Lord. If you are willing to give your heart to the Lord, the Lord will help you. So may you ask the Lord and pray and plead with him. And let it be your high ambition in life that the gospel will be understood or you believe it. The Lord will help you. Let's pray together.